I love the word in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. We're going to talk about our minds today, and we're going to talk about something specific with the mind. You know, you can train your mind on some things. The mind is very, very powerful. And today, I think that our goal is to shoot for the mind that was in Christ. He knew everything, and he knew where this thing was going, but his mind was the mind, meaning the will of the Father in his journey and in his walk today. And I asked you to make a little bit of noise this morning, and maybe some of you come from places where you've not made a little noise, but I'm not ashamed of making a little noise in these things. I'm not ashamed to do that, and you should not be. I've seen people, though, take that as a license for foolishness and to exhibit flesh things, but when we're standing flat-footed and our heart is open and our hands are open, there's something happens inside of us. I heard of an older lady that actually came to a Pentecostal church one Sunday morning, and she really was uncomfortable with what was going on. She goes up to the preacher, and he was an older preacher, and she said, I really don't believe all this emotion. I've never read in the Bible where Jesus ever jumped, where Jesus ever shouted, ran, hollered, or clapped. And the old preacher said, man, you know what? You're right. It's not in the Bible. He never did. But everyone he touched did. So today I pray that he touches you today, that you'll feel like you can open your words and share those words to him today and bless his name. Last week we talked about the power of the seed and the secret being in the seed. We're going to continue that thought today. I made a statement when we opened, and when there's a tendency, if you've walked in the Word or if you've been a Christian for a while, there's a tendency you lose your awe. You lose your wonder of things. The first time you as a kid, you saw something that was big, you went, oh, that's amazing right now. You know, yesterday afternoon, Tyler's Firehouse did a thing in the community where they had the fire engines, and they had all kind of different things, and they brought the vehicles there, and a bunch of these little kids came, and they were climbing up on the fire engines, and they were able to do the siren and ring the bell and do all of that. And he said they were climbing all over. And I said, did you see yourself as a kid that age doing those things? He said, yeah, I did. And here's what I said last week. Don't lose the wonder of the gospel, and don't lose the wonder of the seed. The seed that God, and you know, it's a wonder in the natural when you see what seeds do. And don't ever lose the wonder of that. It's amazing. Those little small things, you hold them in your hand, but something sprouts forth there. God knows what's in that seed. Don't lose the wonder of the word today. You've heard, I say this around Christmas because you've heard the story. You know the story, but don't ever lose the wonder of the word. Don't lose the wonder of the seed. Seeds are important. Now, two lines I share with you that I did last week. Before the worlds were formed, God placed a divine seed in each of you. Before the world was formed, God put something in you and knew who you were. The next statement was, however, since the moment you breathed, Satan has plotted to steal the seed that's in you. That's the assignment on your life. Steal the seed in you. Now, you remember that I talked about the parable, and Jesus talked about the parable of the seed. Quick review. There was four scenarios there, and you can read it later in Luke chapter 8. The first one was the seed that fell on the footpath. The next one was the seed that fell on rocky soil. The next one was the seed that fell among the thorns. And the fourth one was the seeds that fell on the good ground or the good soil there. And the real story of this, you can see our lives. I think all of us have been each one of those four seeds in our life at times. And he wants us to be that one on the good soil, not only on the good soil, not only gets it, but the one that the roots go down deep. You know, one of those brought forth. But when storm came and water came, it blew it away. Sadly, that's the picture of modern Christianity today. They have something there, but when the first wind comes, the first storm, they take it hook, line, and sinker, and they're gone. But the real key thought of the entire word in chapter 8 of Luke was this. It was in verse 11. It said, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. In the natural, there is a natural seed that brought forth, that brought you here right now. You're not here by accident. You were brought forth by a seed. And at that very moment, what was in there, everything was there. Your nose was there. The color of your eyes were there. How tall you were going to be, or how short you were going to be, or how you moved, how your hand, different manner. There, it was all in those things right there. But the seed is the word of God. And today I want to pick up on this concept. The seed that you nurture in your life is the seed that will grow. What do you mean? Because you need to know that also when you took your first breath, there was another seed there. It was the seed of the first Adam. It is the original thing that you inherited from him. It is that seed. It is a carnal seed. It is a seed that has a natural enmity against God. That's why I tell people, if you feel something pulling you toward the word of God, that's not an accident and that's not in your mind. That is something inside of you, because natural man does not go toward that. And that is God doing something in your heart and in your life. Beware, each one of us have a carnal seed in us. And unfortunately, at times in our lives, we have all watered the wrong seed. And the wrong harvest has come forth. And the seed that we nurture is the seed that will grow. So don't let the evil one or his evil ones snatch the word of God. But circumstance has snatched the word of God out of people's lives in 2021 and in 2020 and in the circumstance. Problems, disappointments, fears, doubts, that is sown in us, and that seed crowds out the seed, which is the word of God. What's our daily drill? Making sure it's weeded. Let's look closer. Right now, the carnal seed is running our world. Let me say something about seed. There's a point in time that seed will reveal intent. Got it? You know, you plant a seed and you can't see the apples there. But the thing that was in that seed, the magic, the wonder that was in that seed, when it comes forth, you go, that was an apple seed. That's what it brought forth. And you see things today, and you go, oh my goodness, that, how did that happen? It was a seed that was planted, and this is what has come forth. That was the original intent of the seed. And when that was planted, something awful came forth. True with parables. I told you last week, Jesus dealt in parables, the simplistic line that all of you have learned since Sunday school. A parable is an earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. We've learned that for years. It's simplistic, but you can't improve on it. So today we're walking through. Why are we going through what we're going through right now in the world today? We're going through some things right now because a harvest has come in of seeds that have been planted, seeds that are not like God. We look at things and we think, how did we get here? One of the things you're really feeling right now in your heart, in your world, is the feeling of helplessness. Helplessness leads to hopelessness, okay? And we're feeling that right now. We see things and we go, how can they do that? I was reading, I saw a picture yesterday where the police were chasing down young people who escaped from detention centers in Australia right now, where they're arresting people and taking billy clubs and taking them down to the ground. That's nuts. That's demonic. Well, that doesn't happen overnight. That is a seed, that is a demonic seed that's been planted, and something comes forth there. We're dealing, and by the way, Paul was right. You're not dealing with people. We're dealing with principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places that has put a seed, a demonic seed, and therefore that thing is coming up. I've had people say, you really shouldn't be saying things like this. I look at some of these people right now that we're exalting, and I got to tell you, the discernment radar is pinging in me like crazy when I hear them talk. Do you know who the largest owner of farmland in the United States is? The greatest farmer that ever lived, Bill Gates. He owns more farmland than anyone. He's experimenting with genetically modified mosquitoes. He's experimenting with blocking out the sun, creating fake meat to put the beef people out of business. He is producing toxic things that are killing children on other parts of the world right now. He's testing them in foreign lands. And I'm here to tell you right now, I have the same medical degree as Bill Gates. I have it. I have the same degree. You're dealing with people that are going, don't look at what you see here. Ask God to reveal something. You're dealing with people that have nefarious seeds that have come forth, and the harvest is demonic. You know, and when you do some just simple childlike reading, childlike research, but before it disappears, you can find a TED talk that he did just 10 years ago. Just 10 years ago. He's way ahead of you while you're just making, you want to make sure your phone works right. But he's going in another place. He's playing chess. He said, if we really do a great job with new vaccines and healthcare, this was 10 years ago, reproductive health services, and with reproductive health services, you know what that is? We can lower it by 10 or 15%. What was the it? World population. Now, this demonic seed, the goal is to even lower the population. This is nuts. This is crazy. This is Mengele on steroids. This is foolishness going on. How does this happen? This happens from a seed that is not like God, and that is the seed that has been nurtured. Computer boy is tinkering with farmland and population control. And recently he's a little upset with the way things are. He says, we've had an interesting test of people's trust in their politicians and their health. We didn't do as well as we had expected. Another, we're not as dumb as you thought. People have said to me, why do you speak like this at times? I've paid a price for it, but I'll tell you, I got to be very honest with you. I'm about to explode. And if I don't let a little of it off, I'm going to hurt myself. You're laughing, but I'm really concerned because I know we're looking at a demon seed at work. This mind is not like Christ. I'm not a fan of social engineers. They all point to one thing, playing God. Ask Nimrod how that went. But they seem like nice people. They smile and they grin. You're being judgmental about people. They're kind people. I want to stand and go on record with you right now. I automatically know by prophetic discernment that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not in their founding structures. And I also know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not their final objective in their core beliefs. So I'd like to go on the line to say, I don't buy it. It's demonic, and the Spirit of God in me calls it the way it is. And it's lonely sometimes when you call it out. As it says in Proverbs, follow the money. One man said it this way, we don't need to save the world. We need to save humanity from people who think it's their job to save the world. And you know who said that first? David said that first. He really did. David said that in Psalm 60, verse 11, when he said this, vain is the help of man. Vain is the help of man. They are today, they're nurturing another seed. They're intentionally mindful about it. And when we meet that challenge with equal authority, with equal intensity, that is only then that we'll have authority over those things. Why did Satan rage from day one? Because he knew the power and the value of the seed. What do you mean he raged from day one? Read chapter 3 of Genesis, where the word says the conflict was going to be between her seed and his seed. Why? Because at that moment, all the properties that Jesus needed for his mission were present at the very moment when that seed was planted. And the same inside of us, the very moment you took your first breath, every property that you needed for your mission to follow God and serve God was put in you when that seed was there. Now it's up to you to tend the garden. Seeds are powerful. Let's talk about other kinds. Seeds of doubt. I've had to deal with seeds of doubt. Have you had to deal with seeds of doubt? Seeds of doubt usually come after you've had your hopes up for something. Or you've really agreed on something. Or you think you're beyond something. And all of a sudden, boom, there it is around the corner. I've seen some of you go through things where you got well. Or financially, things got back in order. And then one thing turns and it just smacks you. And we've all been that way before. We all are that way before. Every one of us a few weeks ago said, I'm too old to be going through what I went through 16 years ago. And you get a seed of doubt in you. And it's real. It's real. Do you know a seed of doubt is the beginning? A seed of doubt, that's the beginning when we find ourselves not tending the right seeds in our lives. It was a simple seed of doubt that came to Eve. That's all it was. It was a seed. God doesn't love you. It's a seed of doubt. It's a seed of doubt that starts. If God really loved you, he wouldn't have done this. He wouldn't have done this. God doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about you. Look at David went through seeds of doubt. God, I've served you, man. I've played music for you. And the heathen are doing better than I am. What's the problem here? That's a seed of doubt. The trick is not if you're going to have the seed of doubt, but if you're going to stop and dig a hole for it and put dirt on it and water it and go back and visit it every day. A seed of doubt is the problem of everything that we face. A criminal started with a seed of doubt. I can do this, and I don't think I'll get caught for it. Homes break up over a seed of doubt. I don't think my spouse really loves me. I'm going to get another spouse. It starts with a seed of doubt. Then it starts festering. Then it starts growing, and boom, you got a crop. It's all right here. It's all here. So here's what I said. The seed of doubt, when it continues, brings forth a sin that brings death in many, many levels. And here's my encouragement for you today. We must intentionally be mindful about the seed that we will nurture and we will feed. I want to talk to you today about the mindfulness when tending the seed that God has put in your heart. That is a focus concept we're going to be dealing with for the next few minutes. I want to talk to you about mindfulness. How many of you had a grandma that said, if I had half a mind, I'd do something? You've heard that. I said, well, some of us are lucky if we have half a mind at this point right now. But there's one hand raised up over there. I see that hand, sister. And we need it. We're going out of our minds. Why? We're stressed. We're overwhelmed. Weeds are choking out. Doubt is coming when we're trying. It starts with a seed. Mindfulness starts inside of us. How do we practice mindfulness? Well, we got to break some habits. You know, one of our biggest problems in neglecting dealing with mindfulness in our heart, we actually have forgotten God's faithfulness. We've forgotten who we are in this deal. We have forgotten. We forget the prophetic word that we were told in talking about the people of God in the Old Testament. He said, you're going to be the head, not the tail. But right now, we're being wagged, and we're the ones being wagged. We're the one moving around. We're the ones having to dance, having to jump. Today, we're talking about mindfulness in our heart today. We have forgotten. What do we remember the most? We remember our hurts. We remember our disappointments most. We remember the pain. We remember the plight that we might be in even right now. We forget to remember the times that God delivered us and healed us and intervened in our hearts and in our lives. And to remember those things, we must practice them. Because what happens? It starts growing. The doubt comes. God's not going to do it again. You're going to just die. Yeah, it's over. You're getting wiped out. This is it. Can I say, why don't we flip this thing around? By the way, I've told you many times before, if you want to have some fun in your Bible study, and you want to build some pictures, read some of the words that the Scripture says, and maybe it might look a little negative to you at first, but turn it in the flip it in accordance to you being a covenant person right now. To those who walk in the Spirit, there's life. In other words, flip it. To those who don't walk in the Spirit, there is no life. So the word is so strong that we can do something. And God will bless us in a great way if we keep mindful about the word. I want to say this about mindfulness. What is mindfulness? You ready for the profound definition? It is setting our minds. I went to school for that. I went to my old friend, the ENT that we've had for 40 years. And I went there one day, and I've had some throat issues and stuff like that. And he looks into me, and I'm waiting to hear something. And I'm looking down, and he's doing all those things. And he's got the glass thing. And he said, yep. I said, what is it? He said, you got the crud. I said, is that a medical term? He said, yeah, I went to 8 years of school. That's the crud. I've seen it. I know what it is. You've got the crud. How many of you had the crud? Yeah, you just got rid of it. I heard your voice. Got the crud, son. It's intentional. It's on purpose. It is watch this. It is an exercise of faith and focus. Mindfulness. It is an exercise on faith and on focus. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, you focus on your defeat. You focus on discouragement. You focus on disappointment. You focus on what somebody did to you or somebody said about you. You do that. Why don't you flip it the other way and focus on what God has done? He has done great things. I'm going to talk about it. What do you do? You ready for a profound list? You work at it. Then you repeat it. I might could call it you rinse and repeat. Here's another word I wrote, and I put it in parentheses. You must clue in the rest of you. Clue in the rest of you. David clued in the rest of himself when he said, Saul, bless the Lord. Shut up. David clued the rest of, this is what we're going to do. You got that? And I want everybody, this is feet, this is where you're going to walk. Eyes, this is what you're going to see. Hands, this is what you're going to touch. Places where you're not going to go or what you're going to go. You are, your tongue, clue it in. You work at it. Our old friend Marilyn Hickey, who's such a sweetie for so many years, she used to be famous by talking about being she was like a school teacher, and Marilyn used to say, you start it 1 week and you do it again, you do it the next week, and by the fourth week, the habit becomes you. And it is an exercise in faith and in focus. That also means you may have to close off some other things. It might be time to put some blinders on to things that then when you get those, that is the seed of doubt that crowds out the word of God in your heart. I'm not hearing thundering amens right now. Jeremiah 22 says it this way. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness. Now, there's a whole premise of this concept in here. Righteousness means being in right standing with God. So if we're not in right standing with God, why should we be building and focusing and having faith on that is not like God, that is not in standing with God? That's the drill. You build your house on unrighteousness, and that's what we're seeing today. The house of the world, the globalist house of the world, is being built on unrighteousness right now. The house in America, and I'm talking about all of them, they're all of them, I think they're all insane, because the seed of God is not being the seed that's nurtured. And every person had that, but those other seeds choke those things out. But I love to rejoice because I told you there's always another side. Watch this. New Testament, New Covenant, Matthew 6. But blessed are those who, say the word, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what you're going to build on. Now, what are we talking about today? We're talking about mindfulness of that which is righteous, that which is before God, developing that appetite. There are two very special words there. Our lives are run by what we hunger for and what we thirst for. Hunger, like food. I got to tell you something, man. I don't dance, but I got a problem I got to deal with right now. Every one of us do right now. We do that. There's a lot of stuff that won't tempt me, but when there's a couple things that when they're on the plate, they're going to tempt me. And I thank God from whom all blessings flow when I do it. And I've adjusted my mind to do those things. But blessed are those who are hungry. David said, my heart pants for you. All right, I'm going to tell you why this is important in just a minute. In fact, this is actually going to be a self-grading test. This the book's open, and you're going to be able to grade it yourself. Blessed are those who hunger, and then the word thirst, like a thirst for water. I've seen some of you run. Linda has run a lot. Tyler has run a lot, and some of you, and it's nothing for Linda to drink a gallon and a half of water a day. You know, and I've seen Tyler come off different things and that thirst and you're outside and you're hot and you come in. Jeff was just a little guy and Jeff sweat pretty bad, you know, as a little kid. He looked like, and he was outside and he was coming and he wanted some water, and he's only about 7 years old and the sweat's dripping down his face and he's just a mess. And he said, oh my goodness. He said, I'm sweating like T.D. Jakes, he said. True story. So when you're sweating like T.D. Jakes, you need to get some water in you, okay? You understand that? People have certain thirst for things that will quench themselves. They go for things that will touch them. I'm very compassionate and mindful of people that deal with addictions and things like that. Church has been mean to people who've dealt with them. But it's time that we know that there's love, There is a way, there's forgiveness, but also there is a continued pattern of faith and focus that if you'll do and stay on those things. And I can't stand to preach about one thing when I can't leave away, stop eating the chili relleno and the extra dip there. But I've seen people, and I heard somebody in an interview just 2 days ago, an actress, famous actress, and she was given a testimony. She said, for 3 years, I've not had a drink of alcohol. And she said, I got to tell you, it was tough, she said, because I love it. Now, I don't understand that. I've never experienced that in my life. I don't know that. I don't even know what it tastes like. But it would be foolish for me in an arrogance of what that doesn't bother me, of the things that do bother me. So I've got to have compassion when I speak to folks. And she said, and you know what, because I really loved it. And I think that's crazy. I don't understand that at all. But in compassion, I said, my God, listen to the testimony there. How'd she do that? That was faith, and that was a focus thing that was done, and that was also a trust in God. Because when we take the seed of doubt, we're backing away from the line that says, I trust God. And it was such a beautiful word and testimony. There's always a pull. There's a hunger and a thirst. There's always a cry for something in our lives that's not in our refrigerator. The food and the drink is the least of our worries. It is the things and the sin in our life that we are pulled to, and we hunger and we thirst for those things and feast on those things and water those things and nurture those things. Don't be surprised when that thing comes up. And righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That means the right standing I have with God. That deals with my thought processes. That deals with my choice. That deals with the procedure of my life right now. In other words, I'm still hungry and I'm still thirsty, but the goal of that hunger and thirst is to be in right standing with God. And I have to nurture the seed of mindfulness. I have to pay attention to being mindful right now. And you need to know that he's the only one that can satisfy that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. The great preacher Oswald Chambers said it this way: there is only one being who can satisfy the aching abyss of the human heart, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I rest my case. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you how to self-diagnose yourself. You got it? How many of you go on WebMD and you got everything on there? You got everything on there. And if you don't have that, you got every pill they advertise on late night TV right there. You know, we laid there one night, we had something on, and there was 5 commercials about medicines and things like that. And when it was over, I said, I think I got all of those things. I think I got all of those. I'm dealing with that right now. I'm going to give you some self-diagnosis right now that you can find out how you're doing. You see, the lack of hunger, the lack of thirst for righteousness is really the core problem when you're dealing with mindfulness. And if you look at the problems of today, you can diagnose every problem in our world today, and silly fools who are evil and maniacal trying to dictate what you're going to do and get you used to your lines and get you used to your shelves and get you used to what you're paying for things. That's not for you. That's not for you. That's not for you. Get that through your head. They're not for you. Get that through your head. It's all about control right now. So when you diagnose that problem, you can say they were not hungering and thirsting after being in right relationship and right standing with God Almighty. Because if we do all those things, seeking the kingdom first, we do that first, then all those things follow. We got it upside down. We do these things first. You know, religion does it. Well, if you do these things, put a dollar in a poor box, and you say this or anything, and the repetition of that, God bless it. People may be innocent about that because they have followed that. But if you read what the word says, well, there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing we can do. First, it's the unmerited favor. And then what happens as we seek him, the other things do it. It's not the mechanical thing. If you're living in a relationship and you're doing what is the mechanical thing there, you just don't have the concept of the hunger and the thirst of what is right in that. Does that make sense? But if you're doing it by the book there, you're going to get by the book stuff. It's not good. It's not fulfilling. It's the core problem. Here's a good self-diagnosis. It's a measuring stick. It's a temperature check. Hey, I got this problem. I'm overwhelmed. Well, have I hungered and thirsted after righteousness? Have I been mindful about what God has put? Have I been mindful about his blessings? Have I been mindful with what his word says? Have I been mindful in having words coming out of my mouth that edify him and bless my spirit right now? And when we don't do this, we're choosing not to be mindful. We're choosing not to remember His goodness. But right now, we're in the perfect season. Start now. Be mindful of what God has done. The problem today is we have forgotten what He has done. And that's not just today. I've read it to you 18 or 20 times in the Old Testament for the last year and a half. But they soon what? Nothing's changed. So do this instead. I'm going to try something. Linda, can you give me, this is a do instead. Could you give me a Psalm 103? Come here. Wait. Do it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. And let's see. And forget not His benefits, who has saved me, healed me, delivered me from destruction, and He crowns my head with loving kindness and tender mercies.
I knew she'd know that. Because I remember when she was on a gurney and I had to sign the papers that said when they go in, they're probably going to have to take her kidney out because it's filled with blood. And I heard her saying those words. And then she had a little Walkman on and I could hear Joyce Meyer going, Joyce's voice, you know. And that verse, I've heard her quote it a million times since then. That verse is mindfulness. That verse is nurturing the seed that hungers and thirsts after God. Start December. It's fun. The same voice said in Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us. We're pretty mighty glad about it. Every one of you can say that. Some of you have better memories than others. Others of you said, yeah, but that's old. I need some new stuff right now. Keep saying those things. Remember God's goodness. Remember His willingness to be the rewarder and the filler. The filler. He will fill us. Water that thought. Be mindful of that thought. You remember a few minutes ago when I read the scripture in Matthew 5 and I emphasized, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I didn't emphasize line 3, for they shall be, give it to me, filled. Say it. They shall be filled. He specializes in that. Be mindful of that. Nurture that mindful seed right now. He specializes in that. He is the God who satisfies the deep longing of our soul, it says. My God is the faithful filler. He fills us up. Then, as we start here, as we're hungry and we nurture this seed, this will assist us in our mindfulness. A few minutes ago, I made a statement, and I said, water this. Water this. What you water is going to come forth. Paul's dealing with that. What did I say in verse 11 when I read last week? The seed is what? Okay, the seed also is something else. Watch this. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. How do you like that? Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Now, that's a whole story for another day, that statement right there. Again, that's a parable. That's an earthly picture with a heavenly meaning of what he's saying. Love your wives as Christ has loved. We've had the sitcom of the 50s and the 60s of the Ralph Cramdons and the guy, you know, I'm in charge of you and you do what I say. And it's that kind of deal like that. And that's as stupid and as foolish. In fact, that's not heavenly. That's not a divine thing. That's wrong there. But on the other side, we're not subject to the liberation that has been taught all these years. There is a place that if we're hungry and thirsting after righteousness, those things meld together and it's not really an issue anymore. If you're still saying this is yours and this is mine, you haven't got the issue yet. Now notice this. Watch this statement here. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself that He, who are they talking about? Christ. That He might sanctify and cleanse her. Now, okay. The church is to be sanctified and cleansed by the love that He showed for us. Watch this. That He might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water by the word. The word not only is the word, but that word washes. That word brings something alive that nurtures us right now. And the whole key of all of this mindfulness is the word, that God, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, like a beautiful bride on a wedding day, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The water is the word. The seed is the word. The word cleans us. The word refreshes us. The word satisfies us. The word will sustain us right now. Psalm 20, verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. That's what the word is for me today. Won't you be mindful about a word like that? Won't you, instead of the fear that might be churning you and the doubt and the despair, why don't you make that the thing that you're concentrating on today? You know the 37th Psalm, delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, you are focused on, you are hungry and thirsty after being in right standing with God. It said, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 145, he will fulfill the desire, the hunger and the thirst of those who fear him. And he will also hear their cry. And remember when I said, and they shall be filled? This is even better. And save them. This plane's coming in for a landing. Remember this. Open the word. Open the word. Open your heart. Open your mouth. Remembering he's done so much. Don't forget, hunger and thirst and run to righteousness on purpose. Nurture that and be to be mindful of God's great things. And the fire of blessing, the anointing and the sustenance and the water and the word and the growth and the right standing, it comes and it blossoms in Jesus' name. And as we head to this special season, remember this. Use this season to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness. We were in the car today and the Christmas song came on. I said, you know, Tyler, it's great that we can be mindful of that. I'm still happy. They're trying to take everything away, and they'll do their best. I have so much I could read you. You'd walk out crying and depressed. But I have to know, I have to be mindful that God is still in charge. But he doesn't expect me to stand up and tap dance, and I'm not a trained SEAL to clap or some kind of deal, because like a lot of guys are doing today because they're worried about their donor base. God's my source. I'm exploding if I don't say something. Pray for us. Practice mindfulness. And maybe when you're overwhelmed and you feel discombobulated, you might want to say, you know, if I had a mind to, I'd lift my voice and praise his name. If I had a mind to, I would say, I will not forget his benefits. If I had a mind to, I would say, thank you, you've healed me. You've redeemed my life from destruction. If I had half a mind to, I would delight in the Lord, knowing he would give me the desires of my heart. I would water those things versus the things that take precedent in our lives today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the word that's come forth. We thank you of each song has set us up for this moment. We're thankful for this season right now. You've brought us together for a time just like this. Father, I ask today in these next few moments as we stand before you that you will speak to our hearts, that you will touch our lives.